This podcast contains adult language. Welcome to DigitalDan.com podcast. This NFL talk with the boys in the building we got.
It's your boy Lennis, man. Lennis. Ghost.
Got that boy Ghost in the building. RTR-ENT. In the building.
All right, this is NFL talk.
If you have an opinion about the show, call us or email us.
DigitalDarren@gmail.com. DigitalDaron@gmail.com. Same thing. Hit us on Twitter, Instagram. You want to be on? You on.
All right, the intro taking too long. Let's talk about not keeping it 100 in this motherfucker. So I don't keep it 100, RTR? That what the fuck you saying?
You might keep it
80%.
I get that. Everything I said was 100%. And I'm going to get on you later, Jerry Jones. Motherfucker, you talking like Jerry Jones. Everything I said is 100%.
Not everything.
Everything I said was 100%.
We're going to get on that later in the show. Run down the topic of the show today.
Just complete. This one unformatted. Whatever y'all want to talk about, we're going to talk about.
I want to talk about how the Falcon fans, the new Falcon fans, I don't remember none of you motherfuckers. When I was down at that dome in Boise County Stadium, all the guys sitting down there, the Rashard, and I seen Darren. Hey, this is it. I'm taking a shot at you, motherfucker. Okay. You know what I mean? I never seen this guy discuss the Falcons until Mike Vick came to town.
First off, let's be honest. I've been here since Chris Miller. I was at a dog here. Bobby Abel, got Billy Joe Tolliver, when we bought Jim Jones, June Jones. I was there with the dog agent. You got on a Michael Vick bandwagon and got right off of that with the jail.
I came out the womb in Greater Memorial Hospital.
I heard you was born in South Florida.
No, I'm not from East Point.
I heard it with DeKalb Medical, actually.
I'm from Greater Memorial Hospital in 1979. From the city zoo. And I love the Falcons, man. I just don't like you new Falcon fans, man. You know what I mean? You guys are the phoniest, man.
This is what I know. You know what I mean? I know Darren is a Falcon fan. I know RTR is a Falcon fan.
Darren was just on Drew Brees' nuts a couple years back.
You can recognize greatness in all around you.
Okay, are you a Saints fan?
No, I just said Drew Brees was great. I'm a Falcons fan through and through.
Good or great?
Wait a minute. Darren, Mario, this guy Mario Mac, y'all. Shout out to what D-Mac, man.
Yo, shout out to Mac. He gonna be on the show.
D-Mac, you'll have to come see us now.
I can remember when these guys were around here playing with the Saints on Madden, and now all of a sudden, these guys are around here diehard Falcons fans. And, I mean, they were out here wiggling and jiggling and all this shit, shaking it up in
wait,
your back.
Let's ask this. Are you a Falcon fan, though?
I am a Falcon fan. I'm just not a fan of Matt Ryan. I mean, like I said, I know how to keep it real with the Falcons. I know like some of you guys.
I heard you was a Patriots fan.
I am a Tom Brady fan. A big fan of Tom Brady.
Which one do you like better, Tom Brady or the Falcons?
If Tom Brady was on, I'm going to watch Tom Brady.
And that's why he shouldn't be talking to us about being no fucking Falcon fan.
But I can tell you. I mean, like I said,
went for all the world. So you was doing the deal in years. Cadillo was shaking with a jail.
I feel like I'm here without that doing
the jail. Yeah, they don't even know. We need you better, girl.
I can tell you about William Andrews, Jail Reed.
In passing.
I can tell you about these types of guys.
Let me ask you this. When a Falcon play the Patriots, who are you ruling for?
First of all, I'm going to the game to see Tom Brady.
Well, if you're in my sense, I'm getting you escorted out of the premises.
Just like he was there when Mike Vick came back to town.
You beat his ass.
Yep.
I mean,
eat them to the dogs.
Shout out, Bebe, because Leonard Skelton and Bebe will end up looking like they lost their best friend when Michael Vick got hurt.
Before Michael Vick got hurt, I mean, some of y'all were looking sad as hell, too, now. Y'all were quiet as hell, now.
What about how they
Calhoun was going to commit suicide, now?
Calhoun down there leaving the cheers. He like, fuck Mike Vick with Mike Vick jersey on.
And he came back like, but the dog was quiet as hell, now. They keep it 100. Now, the dome quiet as hell.
Not it, really. it wasn't as quiet as when Seattle had got that came up. Everybody was sick when Seattle threw that motherfucking touchdown. And they was up by, what was it, like two or something like that? 1 point? Or when Mike started that, yes, all that type of shit. And we stuck it right back in them. You got to love the Falcons, man.
I'm going to tell you, man, I enjoyed the Falcons more back in the days. You know what I mean? Even the Falcons in the 90s. The late 90s. Even, like I said, the early 2000s. I mean,
Michael Vick or Dan Reed.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Vick, Dan Reed, Chris Chandler. I enjoyed those teams. I enjoyed the losing team. Like I say, with Jim Jones and Jerry
Lynn. You fighting that then.
So let's play a game real quick,
then. Go ahead.
You don't ever want to play a game with guys.
Hey, this sounds like we keep raging in this motherfucking game. Raise a goddamn days out. So if you had to rate, let's break the Falcons in our lifetime, all of us born around the late 70s, early 80s. Let's break them into basically four groups. The current the Matt Ryan Falcons, the Michael Vick Falcons, the two legit DeQuette Falcons.
The Dion Falcons.
The Dion Falcons, we'll say that. The Dion Falcons. Yeah, they the same. And the Chris Chandler, the Dirty Bird Falcons.
What about the
mid-85?
We can
talk about Woody Mandrew, but I think that they'll be pretty low on everybody else's list. Yeah. I think everybody has them right low. Out of those groups of Falcons, which one would you say you like the best and why? So we'll talk about it, or let's talk about them as a group. So let's talk about the first group, the two legit quick Falcons. What do y'all remember about them?
MC Hammer. Dion, fun, tight riding on the sideline. That's what I remember. Fun, a whole bunch of fun, a lot of shit talking. Fun. Yeah.
Who was the counter, man?
They were doing some winning too, though.
I remember going to a game with Vander Holyfield sitting in the stands.
I'm going to boys club and he was in the stands.
Yeah, MC Hammer on the side.
What are you doing, nigga? Y'all the hot dog boys.
Nah, you had him. Everybody listened to him. You probably didn't listen to MC Hammer, but everybody
listened to MC Hammer.
You were going to do it through silly bottles.
That's because we couldn't afford church. The price was too high.
Most fans like, yeah, yo, that wouldn't let you listen to MC Hammer.
Of course, MC Hammer was.
I'm going to tell you about a defensive backfield with Deion, Scott Case. Jordan, Scott Case, Tim McKay.
Tim McKay was really good.
Tim McKay was he was decent.
He got like 8 picks because they wouldn't try Deion.
Yeah,
they were decent. I remember the game I went to with Tim McKay and Seattle. They were playing the Seattle Seahawks. And Tim McKay picked the ball off.
And looked for Deion.
Like I say, he was going down the field. And I mean, like I say, Deion came from the side. Instead of throwing a block for this guy, Deion
took the ball.
And he pitched it to him.
That was one of the best things about the Falcons. I remember Scott Case got an interception and did not even try to run. First thing he did was look for Deion.
Scott Case was a motherfucker, actually. I don't think he'd get enough head for what he was doing. That, he was running that banging.
He wouldn't be playing in today's NFL.
Oh, hell no.
He was hitting a little too hard for today's
NFL. And low, high, everywhere.
He was from Oklahoma, man. I mean, he was doing what he did in college, man.
Scott Case was the dude. If I had to write, I think there was a fun team. I think they just had, you can see they had a lot of fun playing.
Man, I think they wasted a lot of draft picks that day. A lot of guys other than Deion.
What was the big guy they drafted? The DN they drafted? Andre Bruce. When they drafted him.
Yeah, the Auburn.
Yeah. They wasted one on him.
Yeah.
We wasted a whole lot of picks. A whole lot of that.
So on a scale of 1 to 10 saying they're your favorite Falcons group, 1 saying they're your least favorite, what number would you give them?
I'd probably give them a 6 or a 7, you know what I mean?
I think the entertainment factor, from the entertainment standpoint, you have to give them a 10. But from a win-loss standpoint, you have to give them like a 5. So I would say a 7. Like, just general, I'll give them a 7 because there were more teams winning than the Falcons back then. But nobody was on the sideline too legit to quit kicking and Zach. The Falcons were
Anky breaking silence on the sideline. Everybody.
And that really was kicking it back
then. I can't wait. Hey, you start that Cadillac and number 50. You need to cut that down. So he started at the 20.
You gotta love it.
They opened that dome
up
right.
Though. They opened. Yeah, they did open that dome up right.
Forward to counting to that dome. I mean, Deion wasn't
even with us when that dome opened up, was it?
Yeah, he was
the dome.
He was the first. He opened the dome up.
He came back and slapped Andre Rison.
Yeah,
nah,
yeah.
But that wasn't his first time in the dome.
Deion played with the Falcons.
Yeah, in the dome. Yeah, he played with the Falcons in the dome. So double R.
That's how I know I got you, Cowboy.
You know, y'all, we were ranking the TG because of the Deion, like just on a scale of 1 to 10, if they were your favorite team, but if they weren't, it's 10 if they were one of your favorites, one if they weren't, what would you get them as a fall?
That's a tough. I'd probably give them a 7.
And what do you remember about those type of Falcons, that group of Falcons?
The Falcons, I think we started, we didn't start off so good late in the year. That's when we made that run to make it to the playoffs.
We beat the Saints.
And that's when Washington.
But everybody, they were writing us off not to make the playoffs, and we made the playoffs, I think.
10-6.
I want to say Deion came back, he played with the Braves, then he came back, he gave us a spark, and we went on and made the playoffs.
So, be honest, were any of y'all doing the too legit to quit dancing?
Everybody was.
He was a little kid.
You got to think. Andre Rison, yeah. Michael Hayes. Chris Miller.
Tim Mikaia.
They didn't throw Deion away, but they threw Tim Mikaia.
You know, he had like 8 picks because they don't throw him away.
They used to roll the covers. Like, they used to leave Deion the whole side, and they had the safeties and Mikaia over there. You couldn't throw that motherfucker.
But Brian Jones still playing with us,
ain't he? Yeah, Brian Jones, Scott Case. Who was that running back? Steve Broussard, or was it Ironhead?
Ironhead was still with the Saints.
Broussard. I remember they got Mike Pritchard. Mike Pritchard came toward the end of that run.
Yeah, we didn't hear Aaron Pritchard then, did we?
Aaron Pritchard came toward the end.
Jeff George did.
Nah, these were all like, you remember Jeff George came toward the end of this.
Yeah.
Because
they
were after Billy Joe Thomas.
Yeah, like, you keep talking about Billy Joe Thomas.
I remember that red-headed motherfucker, because Joy, he used to
play for the fucking Falcons.
I called him the Flipper.
Flipper Anderson. Oh, when they got him and Drew Hill.
Call in, man.
We would love to have you on just to reminisce about the fact.
My people still know my name.
You meant a lot to us back then. Those preseason games meant a lot to us.
You're the first black quarterback in Atlanta.
You were Michael Vick before Michael Vick.
I have to get into seven myself. I don't say that at 10 for entertainment out of this group. I mean, Michael Vick was the show.
Right, Michael.
And now we watched every last. Michael Vick was the show.
Well, put it like this: they may not have been the same type of entertainer, but they were big boy kicking it. Now
they were the most kicking it out of all.
I don't went to the tailgate. It was game. Michael Vick, you brought them out on Sunday. While the girls were dressed up like they were going to the club.
Hold on, we gonna get to Vick in a minute.
It was going down in Atlanta.
We gonna get to that. Let's talk about. So the second group was Dan Reeves, Chris Chandler,
the Dirty Birds.
What about Jeff George?
They
were really
nice.
They made it to the playoffs.
All right. So before we get to the Dirty Birds, let's talk about the Jeff George era.
Jeff George had one good scene when he helped him go to the playoffs.
Yeah, June Jones, and they were on the run and shoot.
Yeah.
They had Mike Pritchard, they got Drew here from Houston.
One thing I want to say about that motherfucker, Jeff George, he could throw that motherfucker.
Yeah, he turned a mess.
They had a golden arm for that.
They got in the playoffs and
Brad Moore
put him out.
Yeah, because three of them had 1,000 yards. Mike Hayes, Drew Hill, and somebody else.
Terry Matthews.
And Mike Pritchard, all three of them had.
Terry Matthews.
That was before him, though.
No, no way.
Terry Matthews was the go-to guy.
Sport Wrestling, a
good site, man. Y'all check it out.
Oh, if any of you guys in Atlanta need some entertainment, RTR Entertainment. You satisfy all your needs.
What a shameless plug.
That's what we here for. Shameless plugs. You can get as many as you want in. We don't care. What do you provide at RTR? While I'm looking this up, tell everybody what you provide.
Any of you guys, your fantasy, we make them come true.
Adult fantasies?
Matter of fact, just go to RTR ENT69 YouTube. You'll see what I'm talking about.
6'9".
You know what a 6'9" stand for. Mm-hmm. We're not talking about standing 6'9".
Mm-hmm. All right, so we could look this up. So you saying just scroll down. Is that what you're saying? I'll go to head-to-head represent. All time.
Oh, I ain't no right away with an all-time leading Falcon receiver.
Of course. Y'all ain't really a Falcon fan. Y'all already know that.
Roddy.
Roddy been doing his thing.
9 to 5. Yeah, we 9 to 5. Eric Metcalf. Yeah.
Yeah, you right. Y'all right. Y'all right. Because that's who
I'm. But nah, who would have been receiver? Eric Metcalf. Let's see. No, I can see the stats for that. Yeah, just click on
it. Yeah, it might have been Terry Matthews.
Terry Matthews. I'm telling Terry Matthews.
Nah, that was 9 to 5.
That's 9 to 5.
Bert Emanuel had 1,000. Eric Metcalf. And Terry Matthews had 1,000. So those were the three. Yep. Those, I know it was three that year. I mean, Joe George Baldwin. That's a hell of a year.
That's a damn good year.
3,000 yard receivers.
Running shoot off it.
Yeah, Drew. Yeah, we had 1,000 yard rusher too, though. Ironhead Haywood.
Did he run for 1,000?
Yeah. RIP to Ironhead Haywood.
Yeah.
When did he die?
Only like 09 or something like that.
I don't remember. I don't recall when they die. This motherfucking NFL player die every day. You better laugh.
Got
it. And his work.
So, yeah. And then, you know, Jeff George had a couple of good years. And Calhoun loved Bob Hebert so much. Let's talk about your Bob Hebert.
And then he come from the same room. We were swapping our player from the same room.
Hey, you know that motherfucker went for us. 3-13. So you keep throwing up your freaking name every day.
I remember y'all remember they had some black guy game. We couldn't watch the Falcons. Yeah, but Ashley Edmonds, I think Bobby Edwards was good too, man. 93 and 13. Yeah, I mean he was a good backup, but everybody had, that's what we probably heard, the bad guy. I mean we for a minute we traded players with the Saints for a minute. They get our trash, we get their trash. All right, so let's talk about the Dan Reeves, Dirty Bird Falcons.
What was the memory of them for y'all? Or what? Talk about
the
them.
Bowl. The Super Bowl. Ooh, that's the only way. That's Super
that
Bowl.
That Lucas Super Bowl appearance. Up.
That was the best team. That's one of the best teams in the NFL.
How do you fluke 14-2? I mean, you can't. I mean,
that's one of the. And they beat. It's only been what? 4, 15-1 Yeah. Teams, NFL teams, 3 or 4 15-1 team, and they really beat one. The Falcons had the best team. That year, went down there, fucked it all off on the beach, got down the preacher fucking transvestite, turned him on in jail. Lord knows Jamal Anderson probably had coke in the bathroom stall.
What a
Little folk wasted it. Little folk had the best team, and they lost that Super Bowl.
So was that the best team in Falcons history?
Might have been, because everybody, I swear, everybody that year had career years.
Chuck Smith.
Yeah.
Bennett. Jamal Landison,
Eugene Robinson, Ray Buchanan, those folks was big play, Ray. I got to do nothing but salute you, man. You're a hell of a guy.
Hey, that's all
that
guy
and his dog chain, man. Ray, small play, Ray Buchanan.
Hey, the best thing Ray Buchanan ever did with the city with a tip, bro.
You got to salute for that. Big ball, I see you, big ball with me. Like how you fucked your old lady over in court. Y'all were classy.
That was the only thing you ever did with
Buchanan. Sorry, man. Why are you all
the way like
that? That's the best team. Was trash. That's the best team in Falcons history.
By far.
Yeah, everybody had a career year that year, so.
And not just that, that Dirty Bird shit took a storm, man.
Did you used to do the Dirty Bird?
Indeed, I did.
Oh, yeah, I got to shout out to my other guy, Bob Christie. I see you.
Yeah, hey, what about, you got, I'm going to tell you what you got to shout out. You got to shout out Tim DeWitt, because if it wasn't for him, we would not have got Mike Vick.
We're going to get to that.
Yeah.
Underrated player, man. Like Rashad said, man, Bob.
You know, Bob Christian was a hard hitter who was a real Christian, man. Good guy, man. Good
player. Hey, what about O.J. Santiago?
Yeah.
Y'all like Santiago?
Hey, he was a decent tight end,
though.
He
did.
He was
a fake ass,
whack
ass. What's poor than poor? He's a poor than poor as Tony Gonzalez.
No, I don't even say Tony Gonzalez. Said a poor man's Andrew Crumpus.
Fair enough, he's a poor man's something. He's definitely not a rich man's anything.
No, no, no.
He just really showed the place of having some good receivers and a good running back that year. And nobody could cover this guy because everybody was too busy to cover the receivers in the back.
That Minnesota game was epic.
That was probably one of the. That's probably the top game in Falcons history.
Well, that's one of the best games.
Yeah, San Francisco.
Broke his leg.
It was ugly.
You got to get in their props.
That 14-2 year was a monkey.
Came back.
Them folks was clicking.
Do you remember where you looked at Super Bowl when they made it?
I was at home with my brother-in-law.
I was at the airport. Fueling the fucking plane.
I was talking about me and Rashad. Hey, you were talking about that. We were diehard now. We were some diehard motherfuckers, man. For real, man. But, like I say, man, me and Rashad was in the break room at work watching the NFC Championship game, man. And I'm talking about, like I say, when the kick. You remember when he went in, man? They played. That shit went berserk.
Everybody at work stopped. They said, ain't no plays going out. We watching the game. Everybody
watched me. Yeah. I tell you where I was at that game. Well, I remember I was at the Kingdom Hall. And everybody was checking their radio and all that type of shit. Cause that was before the phones was in. It wasn't like you put phones in. And everybody was checking radio like, we up. Hey, third.
Yeah, just let y'all do it?
Nah, what do you mean let, motherfucker? That man, this is grown shit.
Hey, I wonder when we get that same member again with a Falcon making it to the Super Bowl.
Cause I remember.
Matty Ice.
When the Falcons made it, when they won that game, everybody stayed at work to watch the Falcons fly back in from Minnesota.
Well, y'all yeah, some Falcons little motherfuckers.
We was on the tarmac when they came in on the plane.
Yes.
That's why they seem deserved.
With the meat coats.
Oh, man. I would tell you this.
Boy, I came in flexed up, man.
I seen Chris Teller. Chris Teller got on the plane. Do you remember this man? He got on the plane. This guy had to have a concussion. So he like, hey, where's the bus? He's looking around. He like, hey, Chris, over here. He walking out. He moves it.
Yeah, I remember him, man. I remember Cornelius Bennett coming out of the bus with a cigar. He had a big cigar in his mouth with a mink coat on, man. Shout out to Cornelius Bennett, man.
He got started to some groupies.
I was in my dorm room when the Falcons won, and I went to.
We were number 18, so hell.
And the Falcons were. Nobody believed in the Falcons in the dorm. The whole dorm bet against the Falcons but me. And I think Bulldog and somebody. It was basically me and somebody else from Atlanta. And the whole dorm basically shit down when the Falcons won. Then not everybody wearing Falcons jerseys.
Yeah, I hate when shit like
breaking
that.
News, awesome. I don't mean to interrupt you guys, but breaking news. Woo!
Gosh! Happy college football season day to everybody.
College football.
Happy college football season day to you, Lynn.
This is great. Same to
you, good boy. Calo, happy college football season day to you.
I don't want to get shit if I wasn't here. I wouldn't be watching.
For sure, happy college football season day to you, Double R.
Thank you.
I'm sure.
Taking
the field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I ain't not
even
the third. The third one has to be the Michael Vick.
The third group is the Michael Vick.
The most electric player. You said the
keyword. Oh, my God. If this is still 1 of 10 as far as entertainment, he was 28. I think besides Barry Sanders, watching Michael Vick was the best thing. Was the most entertaining thing to watch. And it might be even more so Vic because he touched the ball every play.
Calhoun was a Bible thumper, so that's just on the field. Let's get to off the field what Michael Vick used to do. He was legendary off the field.
Hey, y'all, you want to stroke somebody because they fuck the strippers and say, y'all gay. Let's talk about what really happened when we seen, not the Royal Mexico shit.
Michael Vick. Everybody in here got a story about Michael Vick in the streets.
Michael Vick was the man. I ain't gonna lie, he was the man in this city. Michael, like Young Jeezy say, I was the man in this trap of the year. Mike Vick was
Michael Vick was the trap of the year, back to back to back to back.
Man in Atlanta. I'm gonna tell you something. If you were in Atlanta when Mike Vick was on, you missed the whole era.
Good one. You missed the rise of BML.
Tailgate. Oh, boy, the Club Vision.
Well,
I can tell you stories.
Oh,
like the Blaze.
But real quickly, Michael Vick, we was in the Blaze one time. Michael Vick bought out the whole bottom bar.
But this is what I'm saying about Mike Vick. When you're talking about Set the City on Fire, I was watching our first tape when they had like T.I. on there a couple months ago. And they had, and Skip asked him, like, with Matt Ryan and Mike Vick, he was like, how is he? Like, well, I believe in Mike Vick. But Mike, I mean, Matt Ryan, Mike Vick is my guy. And he was like, is the city the same without Vic? He was like, because that city was on fire when Mike Vick was down here. And I got to say, as a young man in Atlanta in my early 20s, this shit was on fire when Mike Vick was down here, boy. Bars, club, everywhere you go, Mike Vick had was running this motherfucker.
My boy, did you ever go to the tailgate? Mike Vick had them out, had all the strippers. The strippers, they left work. They left work, man. Probably 5 in the morning coming to the faculty.
That was beautiful. But again, he didn't give a shit. He didn't give us, we didn't do nothing. He went and, well, he was the first quarterback to win in Green Bay, in Green Bay. He was the first to do that. And we wouldn't let him fall into a championship when the Eagles beat us.
Yeah, but he, I think they ain't put a good, Rich McKay put a good team around like that. We tried, but. Arthur Blank was ready to spend the money, but our GM
went with it. No, I disagree. I think Rich McKay put a serviceable team down. I think the biggest problem, we had the worst offensive coordinator in the history of football.
Oh, my God.
Greg
Knapp. So,
I think he was a LeBron James of the NFL from a physical standpoint, a physical tool standpoint. At that time, nobody had what Michael Vick had.
Still don't.
You know, it's never been another Michael Vick. You could say you're Ronald Cunningham's, you're RG3s, you could like them, but they ain't none of them Vic.
Well, they might be fat. They can't move like he was moving. That cat was, that man, like somebody said, you put him in a 6x6, you put him in a 6x6 cell with three guys, it'll take him an hour and a half to catch him. That's how elusive he was. I remember in Green Bay when they had him by the collar, he'd get out of that. I remember with the Browns, they tied like 12 seconds. He was in the backfield just.
What about with the Vikings when he made that iconic?
So Mike Vick, go.
Overtime,
it
might be ticket, 50 yards?
Yeah.
What about that game he came back and he broke his leg the whole season, played the Panthers, had like 140
yards. Oh, man, we were two and so. We only won two games.
Yeah, he came back and won the last three.
Yeah, but again,
that was the most electrifying.
And to all the people who aren't in Atlanta and weren't in Atlanta during that time, Michael Vick is a combination of Liberace,
Frank Sinatra. And Joe.
Will Chamberlain, Broadway Joe, Muhammad Ali.
He had this shit going.
All wrapped in one.
Yeah, and he had, that was the first time since the Super Bowl.
Mike Tyson. He was just, everybody with a personality, you could wrap them all together and put into Michael Vick. That's the hold he had over this city. And especially to us as black men. Exactly. And so that's why he always looks a certain way to us.
I just think, if we would have had a better Vic, I think he's another guy. He's not going to go far. He's limited. I said it then, and I say it now. He can't read defense good. He's only good at instincts, and I think that's why he'll do a little bit better than Chip Kelly's systems, because his instincts are pretty good. But if you want to talk about reading defenses, coming up to the line and doing all that, he's not doing that shit. So that's the only thing I think his play on the field was like, I'm telling you, besides Barry Sanders, because you don't see that kind of play consistently. Like, you see, like, with Dante when he played, you see, like, kick returners doing the shit he do. You don't see somebody do that and can throw the ball. Like, RG3 is fast. He get around the edge. He can beat somebody. RG3 not back there making people miss. Like, Mike, that guy is a real monster.
Yeah, and also, I think if Dan Reed would have stayed, Mike Vick would have been a whole lot better.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest problems of that.
Yeah, Coach Buddy.
Now, if Jim Moore would have got rid of those stupid-ass coordinators, because I hated Ed Donatello as much as I hate Greg Knapp.
I didn't mind Donatello as much. I just think Greg Knapp is the worst offensive coordinator in football history, where he couldn't
He tried to fit a square peg into a round hole instead of making the hole round.
But I hate any defense that in 3rd and 18 go to a prevent, rush 3 and go to a prevent. I hate any defense do that, and that's all he did. We never dialed up blitzes. We never was aggressive. I hate it.
Joe Ballard, any more thoughts on Michael Vick era Falcons?
Yeah, we pretty much touched everything. We can go over for days about Michael Vick.
You really can.
I mean, he just has that hold over us. I mean, do you think an era like that will ever be recreated in Atlanta, in any sport?
I don't know. It would be tough to bring an athlete like Michael Vick, like when Dominique and Dion were here. It was a nice era, but Michael Vick took it to the next level.
Well, we was little in that era, so, and the city wasn't like it is now. Like,
well, I think Michael Vick was one of the reasons that it is like it is now. I think Atlanta became a part of the city because of the perfect storm that Michael Vick was one of the ingredients.
Yeah, I think that's just how we were going, because Mike Vick wasn't here doing Freaknik. And the strip player, I mean, that's just where our city was going. And now they're dialing it back now. But that's where it was going. So, I think Mike Vick played a hand. He just, to have a star as electrifying as he was and to be in the city like he is. Like,
Dominique, so you're saying it was a perfect combination at
exactly. Dion was out in the city, but I was a little kid, so I don't know. But Dion was more in the city and stuff. But Dominique didn't look like Mike Vick, man. You weren't born into Dominique at that club Nick.
Exactly. Like, I bought into Michael Vick and Blaze, Level 3 Visions, and I don't even bump it too light. I mean, we just have to be in the city. He's in the building, and you know, they're kicking it in VIP. Mike Vick is kicking it in the regular spot with everybody else, just having fun.
Yeah.
He's spending more money, of course, but he was kicking it like, you know what I'm saying, like with the hood, the thugs, and everything else. And then, too, I think what helped the rise of Michael Vick, at least from an entertainment standpoint and a street standpoint or a nightlife standpoint, is the rise of BMF, too. I think that those two were kind of mirror images of each other. For Michael Vick was the flash and the pizzazz that they were.
It was the Young Jeezy era.
Exactly. So I think with the rise of Young Jeezy and all those, I think it just was a perfect mixture of fun.
It was just a hell of a time.
And trust me, it was probably the best time Atlanta. A black person from Atlanta, that probably the best time you have seen.
Because when they had Freaknik, it was fun as shit.
Well, Freaknik would be only what two? Michael Vick them like this every week. So Freaknik was fun for a weekend. Michael Vick them, it was like this every week.
I think Vick, man, was, yeah, I mean, this is my last, I mean, like Rashard just said, we can talk about Vick all day. In the air. As far as the team go, I have to say, I have to give it like a 7, like I give the other ones. And the only reason why, entertainment, I give it a 20, but, man, he went 11-5, then come back and go 8-8. He went 9-7, then come back and go 6-10. So we wasn't consistent. It wasn't like only one time I felt like we can win this thing. Every year, of course, you feel like this our year. But that year they played, they went up to Philly. I felt like that year we could have won. When we had Patrick Kearney and Grady Smith and Grady Jackson, and I felt like we Coleman. I felt like we had a shot at it. But besides that, there wasn't too much going on.
I would give them, I think from I would give them an 8. Probably even a 9, because you had so much stuff going on. I think during Michael Vick era, you had the rise of Michael Vick, the fall of Michael Vick, which in itself was a story that probably captivated the NFL.
Yeah.
And so you had the Bobby Petrino short-lived era. So trust me, the era of Michael Vick was much more, I won't say entertaining, but it was much more eventful than all the other eras put together. You know what I'm saying? Before that, the only eventful thing we had was going to the Super Bowl the one time in the too legit to quit era. Michael Vick probably beat that his first 2 years as a Falcon. So,
well, you can't say Michael Vick still hold a record for playoff win over Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan haven't broke that yet. So, Michael Vick only have 2 playoff wins.
Double R, what would you give Michael Vick era Falcons on a scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to give it a 10.
Really? How you can give it a 10?
I'll take that back. I'm going to give him a 9. The Super Bowl, the best year.
Yeah, I think it's hard to go against the Super Bowl, but I just think that.
I can. Go ahead and let the next era.
Last year was the year.
No, wait.
The best era is the Matt Ryan era.
This is the best era of Falcon football.
Because of the consistent win.
Period. Now, this is the only era back-to-back winning season. This the only error we don't look. Now he didn't do 14-2, but we went 13-3 twice. This the only error that I come that with confidence I say we can win the Super Bowl.
This team, yeah, we have a better team than we had.
Yeah, this is the best team we've ever. Well, besides the 14-2 year, man. And they were stacked on offense.
Yeah, okay, everybody had a career year that year,
but this is the same team we got.
Yeah. Do you mean this year's team?
Yeah,
this
year. Yeah, this Ronnie Wright, Julio, Matt Ryan, Tony Gonzalez, this Air Wright, this is a hell of a team. You gotta love this team. This is the kind of team that can get other people to get on the Falcons' dick. And everybody talk shit about the Falcons. By the way, I don't understand why people talk shit about the Falcons. The Falcons ain't been prolific enough. They ain't beat your favorite team. They not no rivalry to nobody but the goddamn Saints. So why is everybody, and even the home team, Atlanta fan, let me tell you something. For everybody listening. Atlanta fans are the I tell you why they this is the only time you can go to a game and have more people for the other team, more fans for the other team than the home team.
I'm going to tell you why. It's more people moving to Atlanta.
Let me tell you something.
It's more people than everyone.
The fucking Charlotte Bobcats will have more fans than the goddamn.
Maybe the Knicks.
Oh, you don't even want to go in there with the Knicks. You think it's Madison Square Garden. We don't want to go in there with the Lakers or the Heat. Everybody on the Heat, bad boy. Oh, I'm sure LeBron can't get a dick up. How many people sucking him off? You can't be no more. And of course, the Thunder. But a team like Sacramento, really, you'd be like, hey, nigga, how this nigga even been to Sacramento? And these motherfuckers have on Sacramento jerseys. The Hawks is the worst.
Let's bring it back to the Falcons.
The Braves is a tease. 14 fucking titles, one championship.
I'll tell you that one, Bucket.
We ain't had none.
You will look bad. Matt Ryan era Falcons. I think that the Falcons improved in a lot of standpoints, and not just on the field. I think Arthur Blank hiring Dimitrov, I think that probably was.
That was excellent.
That was probably the smartest move. And Mike Smith, I know, double R, in our podcast, you said he's just a nice guy. You're not really sold on him 100% yet. But
he don't want no title now.
That's why double R don't keep it 100. That's why your pal.
Are you listening to his pal?
You goddamn right. Are you pal here?
But pal ain't keeping it 100. Then I told some Mike Smith.
Mike Smith is a good coach. I can't say anything about somebody 5 years away. 11-5, 9-7, 13-3,
13-3,
and
10-6. But the thing is, we don't have a title. You just like Marty.
How many?
You just like Marty.
Oh, let me ask you this. Wasn't he the head coach of the Bills?
Yeah.
And then, like, how many times he got? Marv Levy.
He went to the Super Bowl.
I'm about to give a shit about who went. It's about a title. At the end of that, only one team get the title.
We ain't been to the Super Bowl. We only got one playoff win with Mike Smith.
Coach Buddy got more than that.
It's Coach Buddy.
Hey, man, I think it's coming. It's a young team that he got up.
Marty did went to the playoff all the year, had the best run in San Diego.
He coached up a young team with no talent.
Who?
That's what the Falcons was.
No talent, but he got that. All the money going to make the next move with Tony DeMisha. I'm giving him the best.
Yeah, right. Michael Jenkins still floating out here, man. He done just got cut.
He got cut in New
England. Yeah,
they cut it bad.
Motherfucker, yeah, yeah.
He balding. They should have cut him. He shouldn't be a balding player in the NFL.
Hey, fuck you.
Man, I wasn't even thinking about you. My bad, big homie.
What the hell am I got doing today?
But if you look old, you play old.
Yeah, that's dumb. Let me tell you something. That man came here, Roddy White. We had Byron Leftwich.
Oh,
we had Chris Redman. Come on, man. That man came into a shitty situation. And took the great white hope and said, let's make this city of Atlanta get excited again about football.
Who's the great white hope?
Matt Ryan.
So real quickly, him and Michael Vick.
Come on, Matt Ryan. You can take that dog fighting and shove it on somebody's ass. We didn't get shit with Mike Vick. You know what everybody got with Mike Vick? Herpes and disappointment. That's the only thing we got with Mike Vick. Listen, you better back a $20 more than you had a good time, but then next morning you nervous as a motherfucker, man, right? So it's the same thing. It was fun, it was a legend fight, but before he left, you remember we were talking to Mike and all, and I was like, man, get that out of here. He can't read defense. Everybody had a playbook, he had a coloring book. Get real, as much as we like Mike, let's get real.
Like your people who just come after you.
Hey, fuck, what they want? What they, you know, they turned them in. Look, I give a fuck, they turned them in. They agree with me. Yeah, you right. Let me tell you how dumb it is to have some other people like that who want to take a dog fighting charge. You stupid motherfucker, this ain't a murder weapon. A dog fighting charge? Barry Bonds friend went to jail for him twice, ain't he? He made it real. Oh no, Mike Vick had them dogs. You'll get 6 months of you. Mike Vick had them dogs. Man, get that motherfucker out of here, man. Mike Vick a dummy. In real life, an idiot. Nah, he look, he had a one and done.
Alright, real quickly, Double R, what would you rate the Matt Ryan era of Falcons? Like on a scale of 1 to 10, this current era of Falcons.
Man, right now, I see with this team, we should win a championship. We don't win a championship. I'm going to be a pissed off Falcon fan.
I'm getting out the man lane.
Fuck Mike Smith. You can't get us there. Get his ass out of here. Go get us real.
I didn't got to get out the van with Mike Vick.
We weren't that close. Look at the whole team around. Mike Vick didn't have the team that Matt Ryan had.
So it ain't the fact that he didn't have the team he had. Matt Ryan just gives you so much hope in the way he plays.
And Matt Ryan got a good team. He got a good all around.
I wanted to say it's about the players on the front thing. The coaches are basically putting them in better positions to win.
Exactly. Dimitrov getting Mike Smith the best way to
succeed. No. Let's just be real here for a minute. Mike Vick was a look over at Ronnie White. Oh, well, not even Ronnie White. Look at Al Crawford. If he's not open, take off running. And that only gets you so far. That motherfucker never even called audibles. They were putting 9 in the box and he'll still hand the ball off. Mike Vick was a real dummy. Point blank period. Matt Ryan looks like an elite quarterback. Listen,
like Uncle Ruckus.
I'm being honest here. Y'all see the game like I have.
Yeah, bro. Matt Ryan.
I'll take that any day.
But at the end of the day, he only had one playoff win. It looked good now.
Growing pains. It's growing pains. Now he got his first playoff win. Uh-oh. Then what happens next? Next you get your 2 playoff wins. Unless we get in the dough. Tell you.
We need to win the Super Bowl. It's Super Bowl on the bus this year. Okay. No way around it.
So, again, let's go on
the
run
about
this.
The run about to close for this Falcon.
I think this is the year. If we don't get this year, we're trying.
Well, let's wrap this up about Matt Ryan here, Falcons. Scale of 1 to 10. I know it's still kind of hard because they're open.
Yeah, it's still open, so I'll come back this season over.
They're over Mike Vick in the 91 Falcons.
I couldn't.
So this right now, to your point, this is the best
team by
Falcons ever right now.
This is by far the best Falcons. Because even the Super Bowl Falcons, they were 14-2 and they came back and went like
5-11.
Come on,
5-12.
Man. And then the year before that, they went like 6-5. They never had back-to-back winning seasons. And for us to go from not having 40-some years, never having a back-to-back winning season, to 5 straight winning seasons, come on.
I want a title. I don't care about all these back-to-back.
I want a title, too. I think we need
I'm heartbroken last year. Last year, ain't no way we let a fucking second-year quarterback come in our house and beat us. No way. Last year, we all big shot.
And that's why we need that running game that you talk about, that you we don't need ballot, which is the most dumb shit I've heard. And that's why we need that running game. Because when you're 17 plus up in the fourth quarter, guess what the fuck you do? You start running that ball.
Lead the clock.
But then they try to run the ball?
Like, hell no. We fumbled but
then
he threw
it. This fool, Michael Turner got hurt.
He went out the game.
Oh, no, blame his bitch ass. And like my friend Robin say, don't edit it this time, motherfucker. Michelle Turner. And yeah, like my friend Robin says.
Of course, that's getting edited.
You fucking prick.
Aren't you all right to deal, dude?
Calhoun, just me and you, so let's end it on this.
Okay.
We made a prediction for the Falcons.
Okay.
If they don't, and you saying this is Super Bowl or bust year, if they don't win this year, what do you do?
I'm doing like I was saying last year, and I stand by it. I politely ask the bus driver to pull over and let me out. I'm off of the ride. I'm not going to keep doing it. I mean, we all sat here, Linizel, RTR, you and me, some little boys coming up watching the Falcons.
We just went over basically 30 years of
Falcon football.
Yeah.
And if you're not a Falcon fan, you ain't even listening to this.
Exactly. This is only for the
Falcon fans. So, 30 years, and we have legend to show for it. And everybody got to always go mute mouth when someone says, well, how many rings did your team have? And I'm sick of that. At least give me one so I can talk some shit. I can't even talk no legit shit.
Now, let's take it from the bad end to the good end. What did they do in this show?
It's going to be so glorious. That's what I look forward to.
What are you going to tell all these New Orleans fans you made?
Oh, my God. I don't have an Instagram. They don't want you to do for the radio show. It might be the home page. I'm going to pull my pads down and tell them all to kiss my ass. That's what I want you to do. I want you to tell all the New Orleans motherfuckers to kiss our ass. The sons of bitches got a ring before we did. Fuck the Falcons for that very reason right there. They should never let a sorry ass team like them get a ring ever. They suck.
And we'll close it on that. Do you have, if the people want to get in contact with you, how can they get in contact with you?
Well, if they're female, they can just, you know, see the stream and show, do a little something. That's about it.
Do you have a Twitter or Instagram or anything?
I don't know Instagram. I'm not gonna lie.
I think
a grown man should be taking pictures of himself and posting it. And just say, look at me and my money this week. It's okay. Look at me. I just got new glasses. Look, I'm out here in the yard raking. Instagram is gay for a guy.
So let me ask you this, since you just got us where we can't get any sponsors. Can people find you on Facebook?
No, because all my products are said.
Well,
if you did, it's Mr. Calhoun, M-I-S-T-A, because I don't have to do it properly. And Calhoun. All
right, so you're getting fans. People are asking about you, so, you know, maybe a girl.
Are you serious? People are asking about my comment?
People are asking about the show, saying, who is Calhoun? Let me just tell a story about a congressman, for God's sakes.
It's the truth. I don't know him, but that's a true story. That's exactly what he did. Look, you gotta know your congressman and all that type of shit. And not just during election year. Have you seen him since? And I haven't seen him before then or after then.
Do you have any story to take the people out with this time?
I have absolutely no story. I'm not getting involved in that either, because one of these days, somebody will come out there and be like, hey, you fat motherfucker, you talking about John Lewis? I'm like, who is John Lewis? Then I'm like, so dumb. I'm not gonna. Don't do it, buddy, please. I'm not gonna give any more stories like that.
Alright, thanks for the people who listen. I don't know who possibly will listen to this for 30 minutes of family talk.
And we start next week, next time we come, we'll talk about the whole NFL or NBA season.
Nah, we'll talk about week one. We'll make predictions. Coming up will be our week one prediction show, and we'll set up a little format. And listeners, if you want to participate, we'll figure out something where you can put your picks against ours.
I tell you what they can do. Why don't you set up something so they can chat them in?
That's what I'm saying. I'm gonna set up something.
Tweet them in.
Yeah, I'm set up something where if you tweet us, we'll get your picks and we'll keep you. And the three people who do that and get the best record, we'll give away T-shirts.
That's what's up.
Thank you.
I want my T-shirt. 4X, please.
Pink or peach.
Oh, that's how you do it. That's how you like it. I heard you like it flaming hot.
I was just playing. This has been the DigitalDarren.com podcast show. Thank you for listening.
Always a pleasure.
Remember to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.